Today is Monday, February the 24th, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. For emergency action to stop the Trump-Musk purge of federal workers. By the International Workers' Alliance of Rank and File Committees. The International Workers' Alliance of Rank and File Committees, the IWA-RFC, calls for mass action to stop the Trump administration's assault on federal workers, now being carried out by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. This is an unprecedented attack on the working class, an open declaration of war. If workers do not take action now, the consequences will be catastrophic, not only for federal employees, but for the entire working class. The IWA-RFC calls on federal workers to form rank-and-file committees, independent of the union bureaucracies, to lead this fight. Mass meetings and demonstrations should be called to prepare emergency strike action to stop the firings and the gutting of essential programs. Musk, acting as Trump's vice führer, is treating the government as his personal corporation, purging thousands of federal employees, including career and probationary workers. By executive fiat, employment contracts are being voided, due process rights trampled, and workers fired at the whim of a billionaire oligarch. In the latest attack, Musk announced on social media over the weekend that, consistent with President Trump's instructions, all federal workers will have to send an email by Monday night explaining what they got done last week. Failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. Shortly afterward, federal workers received a three-line email instructing, please reply to this email with approximately five bullets of what you accomplished last week and CC your manager. This is an attempt to terrorize, humiliate, and eliminate opposition. Federal workers are being reduced to serfs, forced to crawl before Musk and the financial oligarchy. Musk is following the playbook he used in purchasing Twitter, where he sent the exact same email to every employee before laying off 80% of them. If even a fraction of federal workers meet the same fate, it would mean hundreds of thousands of layoffs in the largest single mass firing in US history. Musk's directive followed moves to purge tens of thousands of workers performing critical social functions. A deferred resignation program led to 75,000 workers leaving before a federal judge temporarily halted it. Nearly all employees with less than a year of service are being targeted, affecting up to 220,000 workers across multiple agencies. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, is being gutted, as planes are crashing due to understaffing, aging infrastructure and safety failures. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, is being slashed in the midst of an ongoing pandemic and the emergence of new diseases like H5N1. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, is being dismantled as climate change fuels catastrophic disasters across the US and the world. Musk, the world's richest man, wants to know what the workers do. In short, everything. The real question is, what do Musk and his fellow oligarchs do? They build nothing and contribute nothing. They grow rich off the labour of others. More than 600,000 postal workers are also in the crosshairs of Trump's privatisation drive. On Friday, he announced plans to place the USPS under the Commerce Department, stripping its independence and paving the way for mass layoffs, wage cuts, and the sell-off of operations to Amazon, UPS, or FedEx. The goal is to end the universal service mandate, raising prices while gutting jobs. In 1981, President Ronald Reagan fired over 11,000 striking air traffic controllers, marking a major turning point in the class war against workers. The strike had broad support, and there was growing sentiment for a general strike. But the AFL-CIO bureaucracy refused to mobilise resistance, allowing the government to crush the controllers, destroy their union, and paved the way for 4 decades of attacks on wages, jobs, and the right to strike. Trump's purge of federal workers goes far beyond PATCO. This is not just mass firings. It is an attempt to dismantle the civil service and eliminate social programs. While PATCO strikers were blacklisted, Trump and Musk are wiping out entire agencies, forcing workers to justify their jobs to a billionaire. If successful, this will embolden the ruling class to escalate attacks on all workers, impose wage cuts, mass layoffs, and suppress resistance with dictatorial methods. During the 1980s, and in the decades that followed, the union bureaucracy responded to the ruling class's assault on workers by fully integrating itself into corporate management. Now, as Trump and Musk carry out the largest purge of government workers in history, these same organisations refuse to lift a finger to stop it. The AFL-CIO has issued a perfunctory statement declaring, quote, "The most powerful thing you can do right now is to put a face to the Doge's reckless cuts. If you are a worker or a friend or family member of a worker affected by the Doge, we want to hear more about who you are, how you've helped our country, and how the Doge is impacting you," unquote. That is, while hundreds of thousands face the loss of their jobs, the AFL-CIO offers only an appeal for personal anecdotes. The AFGE, the largest federal workers' union, issued a statement claiming it would challenge any unlawful terminations of our members and federal employees across the country. In other words, they will do nothing beyond filing useless legal appeals, allowing the mass firings to proceed unopposed. The apparatus justifies its efforts to suppress opposition by claiming that any opposition is illegal, even as Trump and Musk carry out actions in defiance of all existing law and constitutional rights. As for the Democrats, as a party of Wall Street and war, they support the attack on social programs and the enrichment of the financial oligarchy, amid the most serious constitutional crisis in US history. They propose only the most impotent appeals to Republican lawmakers. They fear, above all, a movement from below. A vastly different mood is developing in the working class, a growing determination to fight and to break free from the shackles of the trade union apparatus. This was clearly expressed in the emergency meeting called by the IWA-RFC and the Postal Workers' Rank and File Committee on Sunday, attended by more than 150 workers. Tom Hall, a writer for the World Socialist website, opened the meeting by warning that this is not just about job cuts, but the establishment of a dictatorship. "Trump's moves are flagrantly illegal," Hall said. "He is attempting to rewrite the Constitution, override acts of Congress, and purge all those in the government who are not loyal to him personally. He is attempting to establish a dictatorship in the United States and overthrow democracy, or whatever is left of it." Hall explained, "If Trump's conspiracy is to be defeated, and it can be, it must come through mass independent action from below by the working class." A resolution was adopted in an overwhelming vote condemning the cowardice and complicity of the trade union bureaucracy. The resolution declared, if the union leadership will not fight this, they will fight nothing. The resolution stated, quote, "The time for empty statements is over. The International Workers' Alliance of Rank and File Committees, the IWA-RFC, and the Postal Workers' Rank and File Committee call for immediate preparations for mass resistance, up to and including strike action. Postal workers must join with federal workers, logistics workers, and all workers to stop this purge." Unquote. The IWA-RFC calls on federal workers to form rank-and-file committees, independently of the union bureaucracies. These committees must unite with postal workers, auto workers, Amazon workers, teachers, nurses, and all sections of the working class to coordinate collective resistance. The committees the IWA-RFC is calling for will be the means through which federal workers can communicate between workplaces, exchange information, and coordinate joint action. Through the expansion of rank-and-file committees in every workplace, workers can build support and prepare strike action will pose mass firings, the destruction of social programs, and the privatisation of public services. These committees will unite federal workers with immigrant workers fighting deportation, educators and health workers resisting cuts, and industrial workers battling exploitation and unsafe conditions, forging a common struggle against the attacks on the entire working class. Now is the time to take a stand and fight back. The IWA-RFC is building the leadership and organisation necessary for this struggle. German federal election 2025. Historic debacle for government parties, gains for the far-right AfD and the Left Party. By Johannes Stern. Germany's 2025 federal election has deepened the political crisis in Germany and Europe. The result confronts workers and young people who want to fight against fascism, militarism and social cuts with fundamental political tasks. The parties who have dominated German politics since the end of the Nazi era and have formed governments at the federal level are deeply despised, while the conservative Christian Democratic Union Christian Social Union, CDU-CSU, under Friedrich Merz, received the most votes with around 28.5%. It recorded the second worst election result in its history. The Social Democrats, the SPD, plummeted to an all-time low with just 16%, while the Free Democrats, the FDP, was kicked out of the Bundestag with less than 5% of the vote. Overall, the parties who formed the last government coalition, the SPD, the Greens and the FDP, lost almost 20 percentage points and were severely punished. The incumbent head of government, Olaf Scholz, from the SPD, left office as one of the most hated chancellors in the history of the Federal Republic. According to a survey by Infratest DIMAP on election day, 72% of the population were dissatisfied with Olaf Scholz's political work. Only 15% believed that the SPD was most likely to solve the most important task in Germany. In the end, only 17% were satisfied with the coalition government. The election was a massive vote of no confidence in a government whose policies essentially consisted of escalating the NATO war offensive against Russia, supporting genocide in Gaza, massively arming the Bundeswehr, the German armed forces, and the associated attacks on the working class. The population is suffering from exploding living costs, falling wages, and an unprecedented social crisis. But while millions are bitterly opposed to the established parties and are politically mobilised, voter turnout was 84%, the highest level since reunification. This anger found only a highly distorted political expression. The biggest beneficiary of the election was the far-right Alternative for Germany, the AfD, which almost doubled its share of the vote and achieved its best result to date with 20.5%. The party dominated in Eastern Germany in particular, where the restoration of capitalism in the former East Germany, GDR, destroyed the economic and social foundations for broad sections of the population. With the exception of Berlin, it won all East German federal states, in some cases with election results of over 40%, and with a large lead over all other parties. The AfD also achieved record results among workers, up 17% compared to 2021, and among voters with a poor economic situation, up 19%, achieving a 38% share of the vote in each group. Only slightly more than half voted for the party out of conviction. 39% of AfD voters stated on election day that they had made their decision out of disappointment with other parties. Among those who voted for the AfD for the first time, 59% did so out of disappointment, and only 38% out of conviction. The Left Party, which secured 8.7% of the vote, was able to benefit from the growing social and political opposition to right-wing government policies, particularly among young voters. Among voters under 25, it achieved the best result of all parties, with 25%, putting it ahead of the AFD, 21%. The CDU, the CSU, 13%, the SPD, 12%, and the Greens, 11%. Left Party also won the capital, Berlin, with 19.9%, ahead of the CDU, 18.3%, and the Greens, 16.8%. This does not change the toothless and bourgeois character of this party. Wherever the Left Party governs at state level with the SPD and the Greens, currently in Bremen and Mecklenburg, Western Pomerania, it continues to implement policies of social austerity, the build-up of a police state, and attacks on refugees and migrants. Through its opposition role in the federal parliament, it aims to ensure that the resistance against fascism and war and the massive attacks on democratic and social rights does not get out of control and assume independent forms. As there are currently not any coalitions with the Left Party on the horizon, the party is going into opposition in the Bundestag and on the streets, announced League candidate and party chairman Jan van Aken in a debate of major party leaders broadcast on German public television Sunday evening. He had worked for Greenpeace for years and learned that you don't necessarily have to co-govern, but can also win quite a lot in the extra-parliamentary opposition. Van Aken's announcement that he would make it difficult to carry out his, Merz's, attacks on the welfare state was met with a cynical smile from Merz. The ruling class knows that it has nothing to fear from the party whose predecessor organisation, the Stalinist Socialist Unit Party, Party of Democratic Socialism, the SED-PDS, reintroduced capitalism in East Germany 35 years ago. A Sarah Wagenknecht alliance, the BSW, narrowly failed to enter the Bundestag with 4.97%, and the FDP fell well short with 4.3%, the CDU-CSU and the SPD have a majority of parliamentary seats, although together they only received 45% of the vote. Both have signalled their willingness to form a joint government. The Greens would also be prepared to cooperate with the CDU, CSU and the SPD. The entire televised debate, the Berlin Roundtable, highlighted the rightward turn of the political establishment and emphasised what lies ahead for the working class if the political initiative remains in the hands of the bourgeoisie. The media, which already courted the fascists during the election campaign, have long been treating the AFD as a potential governing party. When asked what concessions she would be prepared to make as a governing party, AFD leader and candidate for Chancellor Alice Weidel explained, "I don't think we have to make any major concessions. I'll tell you why. The CDU has almost completely copied our program and adopted all of our positions. You can do that, but they won't be able to implement it with left-wing parties." In fact, the outgoing governing parties have also largely adopted the fascist program on refugee policy and are ready to put it into practice with the CDU-CSU. Both Scholz and the Green candidate for Chancellor Robert Habeck reaffirmed their willingness to work with Merz. At the height of the election campaign, the latter organised a parliamentary majority with the fascists in order to further tighten asylum policy, demonstrating thereby that he is also prepared to govern with the AFD if necessary. The fact that he vehemently rules this out, at least for the moment, is primarily due to foreign policy issues. Bavarian Minister President and CSU Chairman Markus Söder, who is further to the right than Merz, accused the AFD of advocating a Eurasian community of interests that would turn our country into a vassal state of Moscow. Merz himself, as well as Scholz and Habeck, criticised the AFD during the Berlin Roundtable from the same standpoint and made it clear what the programme of the next government will be. The massive rearmament of Germany and Europe in order to continue the Ukraine war against Russia and to be able to stand up to the US under Trump. When asked about the direct talks between the US and Russia on Ukraine, Merz explained, "For me, the absolute priority will be to strengthen Europe as quickly as possible so that we can achieve real independence from the US step by step. The NATO summit at the end of June will show whether we are still talking about NATO in its current form or whether we need to establish an independent European defence capability much more quickly." Rearmament papers published shortly before the election show what this means. A study by the Kiel Institute for the World Economy titled "Defending Europe Without the US, First Estimates of What is Needed," explained that the Europeans would have to set up around 50 additional brigades and purchase 1,400 new battle tanks and 2,000 infantry fighting vehicles, among other things. In addition, the Bundeswehr alone would have to be capable of mobilizing 100,000 combat troops for NATO in a potential confrontation with Russia. A master plan to strengthen the Bundeswehr and Germany's defense, presented by the CSU, calls for the growth of the Bundeswehr to 500,000 operational soldiers and reservists and the reintroduction of compulsory military service. This is the program for the developing Third World War, with all its consequences. All remaining social and democratic rights will fall victim to this kind of rearmament, not to mention the countless human victims on the battlefields. And, as in the past, the implementation of this madness will require the establishment of a brutal dictatorship. As the World Socialist website wrote in its pre-election perspective, the federal election marks a historic turning point. It underscores that the struggle against fascism, militarism, and social inequality can only be led by an independent movement of workers on a socialist basis. The ruling class is preparing for a brutal confrontation with the working class, which will be forced into mass struggles. The decisive question is whether the workers will respond to this with a conscious political program. The building of the Socialistic Gleichheitsparty, Socialist Equality Party, the SGP, and the International Committee of the Fourth International as a new revolutionary leadership of the working class is now crucial. We call on all our voters and supporters to make a conscious decision and become members. In Berlin, the SGP received 425 votes for its state list, roughly on a par with the last election. Notable results were achieved by SGP Deputy Chairman Dietmar Geisenkisting as a direct candidate in Duisburg North with 560 votes and a 0.5% share of the vote, and SGP National Committee member Martin Maurer in the Leipzig 1 constituency with 310 votes, that is 0.2%. For these articles and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been John Davis.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.